like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here at the Business Radio X Network Studios, where we interview some of the brightest and best business owners in and throughout the state of Georgia and in Atlanta. I'm Ted Jenkins, your host, sitting here with my co-host Chris Hanks, and I'll bring him along just in a minute. What do we do on the Shrimp Tank? Well, guess what? We figure out the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and running a successful business. How do we do this? By talking to the best entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia. And from time to time, we have kids on the future of America, where they bring their ideas. They bring them in here to the tank. We find out whether or not they'll swim or sink right here on the Shrimp Tank. And as always, I'm delighted every Thursday when we come to you live 11:30 to 12:30, be sitting here with Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. Chris, they let you out of class today, huh?
Well, I'm going to class right after this.
Really?
But I always have class.
Now, what's going on the docket for class today? Because for those of you that don't know, Kennesaw State is exploding here in the state of Georgia. Why is it exploding? Because it will be the first university or college in the state of Georgia to have an accreditation in entrepreneurship. Yes, your child can go to school for 4 years and actually get a degree in entrepreneurship. This means they won't be a Starbucks barista, unlike the other children. They go to 4 years and get a liberal arts degree, which, AKA means work at Starbucks. So what will we be teaching today at class?
That is not the question, Ted, is what we will not be teaching. I think that's a shorter list, is it not?
Maybe
we're not teaching, we're unleashing entrepreneurship.
We're going to do that. Hashtag teaching, unleashing.
Unleashing.
We can't at least have one episode without Professor Hanks telling us something in here that's a hashtag that we need to know.
That's right.
So what will you not be teaching then today?
I'm ready to do it. And you know what? Not only with them, but all day Friday, I got to spend time at Dunwoody High School with their high school students and
their entrepreneurship folks,
getting them all set up for the big elevator pitch competition. They have 90 seconds to pitch their businesses.
Now, how many kids are involved in that?
About 120.
120 kids,
yeah.
And they have 90 seconds to come up with a concept or an idea?
Well, they have 90 seconds to pitch their concept or idea. They're working on it. So I always come in at the front end and teach them how to do the elevator pitches, and then I'm going to come and bring some judges, and so we can ruin their self-esteem and GPAs. So absolutely. You are more than welcome to join me.
When is that? I would love to do it.
It's coming up, but we haven't solidified the date, but it's sometime in November.
Unfortunately, Lee Heisman and myself have been banned from all high schools in Fulton County, so we won't be able to. What do you win if you win that and the kid does 90 seconds?
Yeah, well,
and comes
we
up
give
with the best
a, we usually give some gift certificates out, like some Best Buy gift certificates, but more importantly, they win something much more coveted, which is my respect.
do you actually have a plaque for that or certificate? Yeah. It says Chris Hanks.
They
respect.
Want that way more. They want that.
You know,
yes.
With the Roadie 2016 intro that we have and the mad respect you get anyway,
right,
we need
respect.
Something around that.
Yes,
maybe that is. Maybe on the Shrimp Tank here, we'll have to ask Lee, and I don't know what Ryan thinks, but maybe we need like Hanks mad respect t-shirts or something like that. Lee, you're in the t-shirt business anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
So
I had
some
students one time make up t-shirts that said 99 problems, but a boss ain't one for my entrepreneurship program. I thought that was really awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was really good.
Now, I know that we're going to bring on our guest in a minute, Sean Vernamo, who's got a great business, a sold a business, and really, really exciting stuff that we're going to talk about today. His son, Cody, has actually been on this show.
Yes, he has.
And is at the Entrepreneurship Center at KSU. What's going on with this for folks that have never heard about this KSU Top 100? What's going on at the school around that? And how does that work in the way that you're evolving entrepreneurship here in the state of Georgia?
So it works by, we spread the word around campus that as long as you're enrolled in KSU, either, you know, undergraduate, master's, or PhD level, you can enter, and we start with 100 businesses. So we will select from our applicants 100 business owners or aspiring business owners, and we will work with them.
These are all students?
These are all students. So some PhD level, some undergrad. I'm trying to get Cody to join, but yesterday he told me he is not. So he said he's going to wait a year. He said he wants to soak it in. So trying to get Cody to do it.
Soaking it in.
But so what we do is in a competition best described as Shark Tank meets The Voice, because they will get partnered with great entrepreneurs who will mentor them. Much like The Voice has these rock stars working with these aspiring singers, we have rock star entrepreneurs like, Ted and Lee, who have worked with a student, although his student beat you last year. So
he did.
I just wanted to, I think he did.
Lee's a poker player, so he knows how to grease all the competitions, I'll say. So I know I know that people think they won, but he had that lined up. He saw it five moves in advance. Yeah. It was all ready to go.
Yeah, his student actually won. He won. He was the only student in the whole process that did not get cut. So we cut 99 and we leave it down to one winner.
Well, I have to say, for the folks that listen to this radio show, if you listen to us every week, right here on the Business Radio Next Network, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank, coming to you live 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday. If you have not checked out what's happening at Kennesaw State, you really should have. Because I think a lot of people think in the state of Georgia, it's just a commuter school. And when you see the programs that are going on there and the Cole School is selling, you see now what's happening at the Shore Center of Entrepreneurship, you realize that Kennesaw State is on its way to being a national world-class institution. And what Chris has done in just a short period of time there with the Entrepreneurship Center is nothing short of amazing.
I believe we're the 45th largest in the country.
Entrepreneurship Center?
No, I'm sorry, University, Kennesaw State.
45th in the country now.
Yeah, and wow. Much, much bigger, second largest business school, because Georgia State's a bigger business school right now. We're second largest business school. So my world, when I left University of Georgia to come to Kennesaw State, got a lot bigger.
It's amazing. They said there's some 38,000 students there now or somewhere 35,000 students.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
The business school has about 6,000, which is huge.
Well, it's truly amazing stuff. And we're excited today to have on our guest today, Sean Vernimo. He's the owner of the Greystone Consulting Group. I would say that I know very little about rooftops in general. I just really do. But when it comes to rooftop and rooftop consulting, it seems to me that this industry is going to get bigger. And look, you know, a lot of shows don't like to get political, so we won't do that. But if Hillary gets in the White House, I'm thinking that solar rooftops will get even bigger. I happen to see, in the way I wanted to start this off when I learned a little bit about your business, I can't remember whether it was an article I was reading or it was a YouTube that I saw about Elon Musk, who basically just sort of announced this idea of a solar roof tile. And he had this thing that he showed, which is amazing. He said it was a glass roof, but they had this side-by-side dropping kettlebells, like Russian kettlebells, to see the strength of the roof, thinking that a glass roof wouldn't be that strong, but also being solar. And I guess, you know, my first thought is, what's this all about in the world of solar rooftops? And how did you decide to get into that kind of business?
But Ted, I appreciate you having me here. And the Elon Musk thing that was released last Friday is...
Was it last Friday?
It was last Friday. Yeah. The video, if you go to the tesla.com/solar, they'll show you the full video. And it's really revolutionary for what's fixing to happen to the roofing industry. Most of the individuals in my industry don't really recognize what's fixing to happen to them. If Musk can pull off what he's talking about, the residential roofing industry will change forever.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because my understanding is that one of the reasons solar hasn't taken off a lot, you know, as a business, is just because there's this exorbitant cost, first of all, to install it. And the payback period was somewhere in the nature of 20 years to get a payback. And I could be wrong in my math, but my understanding is somewhere in that ballpark. But you're saying that it'll revolutionize the way people think about roofing.
Absolutely. And you're correct. The payback in Georgia has been about 17 years.
17 years.
In other states where the cost of electricity is higher, payback is a lot shorter. Solar City, which is what Elon Musk is, the company that he's acquiring, is the largest installer. And if you watch that, what he's saying is he's going to have solar and roof with the combined with savings be less expensive than a traditional roof is today.
Wow. That's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it?
That is. Now, so, and one thing, I know this may seem like an odd question, but I was always curious. With roofing, you can do so many taglines. Like, if the roof is if it's on fire, do you really need water? Or do you just let it burn? Like,
we just let it burn.
Do you just let it burn?
I mean, just let it burn.
There's so many great tags, like, you know, blow the roof off. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
I'm worried. You miss the 80s, don't you? I'm worried for you. You miss, you know, you grow up as a child and you miss your childhood.
Hey, you know what? I'm around all these millennials all the time. So I have to, you know, educate them. I have to bring back these references.
Will you say as a tagline, please let them burn? You know,
exactly.
I got it.
Yeah. I know. I made them all take out notes and send a note to their mom because I was about to drop bombs. But anyway, that's a different thing. So, it's community service, Ted.
It's clearly obvious that, as Chris said, when he moved over to Kennesaw State, his world expanded, but I think his ego went with it.
You think so?
It did. He was a little bit more corporate at UGA, wasn't it? You more of an entrepreneur in your own entrepreneurship center? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm more of an entrepreneur. Yeah, it is nice though to be able to, like, we have so much support and a great board of advisors, which you guys are both on, that allows us to do things that at Georgia I would never get away with, which is really awesome.
Now, Sean, were you always in the roofing business, or is this consulting business an offshoot of the business that you sold?
No, I've always been in the roofing business, 27 and a half years now.
Wow. And so you built a roofing business before you got into consulting about roofing?
Started as an engineer working in the consulting side of the business. And about 13 years into my career, a friend of mine, as I like to say, convinced me to join the dark side. And I became a contractor, and I did that for about 14, and then just recently sold my contracting side of my business.
And I was just asking, as an entrepreneur, because we have a lot of young entrepreneurs that'll be listening to the show today, I mean, what did you find over your course of time and career being an entrepreneur? What kind of traits does somebody need out there to be successful? Or what can you look back on and say, you really have to have this part of your DNA to make it as an entrepreneur?
Tenacity. I think just, you know, as an entrepreneur, we're going to face challenges, particularly in my industry, in the roofing business. Nothing's ever the same. It's always a challenge. And so you need the tenacity to come and try to overcome those issues and look for solutions. Hmm.
So one thing that always impressed me about you is you are consistently looking to improve yourself. You're like a lifelong learner. So, like, in the circles and your peer groups that you're involved with, and all the things that you read and learn, what's the biggest thing that sort of had the impact on you? Like, what piece of advice had the most impact?
Never stop learning. Industries change, rules change, conditions change, markets change. And if we don't adapt, and we'll get run over. So it's always learning, always adapting, always being willing to take that next step, learn what that next step is.
Hey, we're talking to Sean Vernamo here, who's the owner of the Greystone Consulting Group. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, coming to you live 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday. You can always catch a replay of all of our fabulous CEOs that we've interviewed on shrimptankpodcast.com, or download the show on iTunes and listen to us on the way into work if you don't get us live during lunchtime. I'm sitting here with my co-host Chris Hanks. I'm Ted Jenkins. And I was very, very interested to when talking about the roofing business, because I'm wondering if you could answer this question for entrepreneurs, because it seems to me in the roofing business today that you actually have sort of a good, bad problem, but I'm wondering how you coach entrepreneurs to deal with it. The good problem is roofers have lots of jobs today. The bad problem is many of the roofers that I talk to are struggling to find labor, find the people to actually install the work. And again, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but how do you recommend somebody deals like that problem where you've got the flow of business, but now you're not able to execute? You know, you just can't find the labor to execute the jobs.
Yeah, labor in our industry is a huge challenge, and for everybody from the smallest contractor to the largest. One of the secrets for us for finding labor is we need to show young millennials and show people coming into our industry that there is a path for them, that it's not a dead-end job. We actually have high-paying, well-paid jobs for folks in lower and middle management. And so you bringing these young people into the industry, and we can show them not only is there a path to a well-paid position, there's also a path to learn constant new things. One of the advantages of roofing is we're on a different job practically every day, a different part of the town every day. So there's an enjoyment in the environment that it's not static. We're not in an office 24/7.
Is that true, though? There's a labor shortage in I think, a lot of blue-collar businesses, but in the roofing business?
Oh, particularly in the roofing business. Huge labor shortage. Very.
So in recruiting these young people, how do you motivate? I mean, there's so much written about, you know, motivating millennials and all that. So what's one thing you've learned about motivating young people?
We flog often.
Flog often.
young people, it's difficult with the millennials, and I'm a Gen Xer, so the generational gap is very difficult.
Yeah, and you have a hardworking industry too, so it's
absolutely. Know, so we do have a
that
very
makes it harder.
Millennials, particularly, you have are tied to technology. So for us, one of the things with millennials is we want to give them new experiences. We want to give them new paths to learn, new things to do. So we're always trying to challenge our younger folks to learn as they grow, and so that they know that they've got a clear path where they are today, where they're going to be tomorrow, and where they'll be in 5 years.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I'm wondering, as an entrepreneur and owner, do you think that the middle school, high school is missing out by not having a vocational track, a path, like you're saying, where people might say, you know, I don't really see myself being college ready now, or maybe college ready ever. And this could actually be a really good path, like it was 50 years ago, where I could get into a craft and learn it and be very successful at it.
Absolutely. I think the schools are missing out on opportunity. Not every child, not every kid coming through middle schools or high schools is going to be college ready or college capable. And we don't want to discard those guys. We want those individuals to have an opportunity at a good lifestyle. And to do that, they need a path, they need a course, they need a curriculum. And so having a trade opportunity for those, we know they're students, they're C students, they're D students, or they're students who just do not do well under a classroom environment. We want to take those kids. We want to give those kids an opportunity so that they can be productive members of society.
So roofing business in particular seems like an incredibly difficult one to scale. Like, what lessons can you offer as far as how do you scale an organization like yours?
Scaling in our industry is difficult. We are a localized community type business. It's a lot about relationships in your local community. The difficulty scaling is, how do you do that? How do you continue to hold that touch to your local community? So where we see advantages for some of our larger industry companies is that the back-end offices, they find efficiencies in consolidating back-end services, and they find efficiencies in their overall purchasing power, in their order management, their inventory control. So those are some areas where they can start to carve out some efficiencies to try to scale and grow. And then, as we've talked about, the labor is a huge challenge. So we can sell work, but if we don't have the labor to complete it, we're not in business. So one of the advantages of a large corporation or the ability to scale is the ability to offer health insurance, the ability to offer something other than what your small contractor can't afford.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a break from our sponsors. We're sitting here with Sean Vernimo, who's the owner of Greystone Consulting Group. When we come back from the break on the Shrimp Tank, again, you can listen to a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to find out whether or not it's hot or not to own a Tesla. When we get right back with Sean Vernimo out here on the Shrimp Tank.
Thank you, Ted. Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show or conference? Now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth, engaging a target audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo, or event, go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com. Back to you, Ted.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder at the Shore Center of Entrepreneurship. We're sitting here with our guest today, Sean Vernimo, who's the owner of the Greystone Consulting Group. And we're going to get to our section here in a minute about hot or not. But Chris, I think it'd be remiss today. And, you know, it was delicately thinking about how we would bring this up on the radio. But we've got a great gentleman who literally, he is the backbone of the Shrimp Tank operations. He really does everything. He hosts shows, but people don't see the amazing production quality that both he and his staff put together. And I'm talking about Lee Heisman. But Lee shared a very personal issue with us. And I'm wondering, you know, what is your first reaction, Chris, if one of your students or a professor or a colleague says, I have a problem, my ass hurts. And if they say that very question to you, how does one respond when you get asked that very simple question? Yeah.
Well, if it's a student, you would respond very carefully. Right. Maybe not
there's
at all.
There's HR protocol. Yes, there must be protocol. Something in the manual.
There is protocol. I'm not sure that protocol applies to Lee Heisman, but there is protocol. So, yeah. That, yeah, he is the backbone.
Yeah.
Of Shrimp Tank.
Well, we wish him well. We understand there's going to be some minor surgical procedure somewhere in the future. We know he'll recover quickly. We'll recover quickly. But I thought I'd just share it today because of all the questions I've heard over the years, that was definitely one of the more odd ones. Yeah. Now, Ryan, you have a thought on this?
Well, he will be in our thoughts and prayers, and we will all, you know, take time to think about him as he's going through what he is going through. And it does raise a good question, though, in the workplace. When do you bring up personal issues? Or
well,
when
I know
do you
we can ask
it?
Sean here. Yeah. It's when's a personal issue too personal?
Right.
When you have me on.
First of all. Right, I won't be thinking about him while he's going through this. I won't, you know. And I won't tell anybody that my ass hurts. Even if it does, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't do it.
So there's different styles there.
Now, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I want to duck that question is what I'm thinking.
It's not plead the fifth yet.
He already pleaded the fifth.
This is hot or not.
Not that section of the show.
Yes. Wow.
Well, it begs a good question here.
In the workplace can cause certain personal information to come out. And these then may violate other...
This is the hot or not...
We might have violated that right now by making this
the
public,
hot or not question. Like, you know, do you share personal... How personal do you share in the workplace?
In our industry, unfortunately, personal choices in recreational substances is a big issue.
Right.
So, and we now have several states in the country where that is legal, but we have to be compliant with OSHA. We have to be compliant on job sites, and we have fall safety issues where someone's life is really at risk. So there is an issue, and I know we're joking and we're moving to a little more serious tone, but in some cases you do have to kind of step into the personal realm a little bit and say, hey, if you're partaking, you need to let us know because it's a life safety issue.
Do you drug test in those states?
We, in those cases, that's a thing of our industry where we're trying to figure that out. It's still
you drug test or not, knowing that there may be people that recreationally, even
or medically,
it's legal
or medically, they
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some things in the industry still trying to figure out where that at is, because as we know, it's against federal law, but it's allowed by state law. Yeah. So a lot of
and
it
you, don't you get a workers' compensation break if you do?
We absolutely do. And we pay one of the highest workers' comp in the industry.
What's that? Isn't that rate reduction pretty substantial?
It's like about, yes, it is.
7% or something?
No, it's closer to almost 10%.
10%?
Wow.
Wow. So yeah, you would want a drug test, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Get that 10% break.
And some of our clients require it on the type of projects that we do.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's where we talk about crossing into the personal side of the business. In our industry, there is a huge open question right now. How far are we willing or capable or required to go?
Because if a certain company is too tight on the policy, then that labor worker might go down the street to another type of job.
Absolutely.
That make similar money and say, I just don't have to deal with this stuff.
Absolutely. And that creates the challenge.
It's like college football.
Well, how about a hot or not? Is it a good idea, even though a lot of the workers, I'm sure, are salary or they're hourly wage, I'm imagining a lot of the folks, is it a good idea to pay those guys bonuses? Can you pay the bonuses? Is that a hot or not if you own a roofing company?
Absolutely. We do. It is hot. We want to pay and reward good behavior. We want to reward production. We want those guys to be satisfied and happy in their positions. And truthfully, if you're going to work in Georgia in the summer, on a 95 or 100 degree day with a rooftop temperature of 120, it's hot. I don't know about you, but it's hot. So a little extra at the end of the day or at the end of the week when the guy's done a good job, absolutely.
So hot or not, hourly or salary for these types of this type of labor?
Well, the way the labor laws are structured, we have to pay the guys in the field by the hour.
You can't pay them salary?
Cannot pay them salary. They don't meet the requirements. So they are.
Gotcha.
Now, our superintendents and our management in the field and our management in the office are all hourly.
All right. Well, here's a hot or not in here I'd be curious about. I guess more just how do you consult with businesses when it comes to illegal workers? And I'm not saying that a business would hire a legal worker, but I suspect that there's some line in there that exists of people who are not necessarily standing outside of a 7-Eleven waiting for work, but you know, they're out there. And it's front and center in this election that's there now. So
Absolutely. Immigration from our industry is a huge issue. We've talked about we have labor shortage. Well, one of the biggest available labor pools is immigrants, whether documented or undocumented. And so this, we're all kind of on pins and needles to see how the election turns out and what's going to happen with the immigration.
So how do you deal with that? I mean, are like, how are roofing companies handling that? Are they just, are a lot of them sort of taking a very liberal stance as far as the documentation of those workers, or do most that you know of sort of really maintain a strict policy?
I think it really breaks down to the size of the underlying contractor. You have the smaller one-man band or mom-and-pop operation who have a much less strict policy. And then as you rise and get to the larger organizations, they've begun to adopt E-Verify. They've begun to implement structures and procedures around that.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Network. You should always download our show on iTunes. You ought to get it listening to the car. Listening to Professor Hanks will make you smarter. Me, not so much. But it's important because you're listening on this show to some of the brightest and best business owners across the state of Georgia. We're sitting here today with Sean Vernamo, who's the owner of the Greystone Consulting Group, built a big business, sold it, now consults on solar rooftop, regular rooftop, and all kinds of stuff, which is really amazing to me. And I, that Elon Musk thing, I really can't get over it. It's amazing stuff. So I guess one of my hot or nots here, is it a good idea to own an electric car?
I think if Elon Musk can pull off what he's talking about, absolutely. He's bringing the price point down. The release
he was it was like 30-something thousand now for the model. They can't seem to crank them out fast enough.
That's absolutely. I think delivery now is 2017 or 2018 for the.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're going to pay today and take possession in several years. With his particular thing, he's trying to integrate solar from a panel to a battery wall pack to your car, so that it's an all-inclusive system. Again, if he can pull it off and he can deliver, which he has so far, if he can deliver, it's going to change. It's changing the car industry, and it'll change the roofing industry.
And is California, I mean, not to say he's out there, but I mean, my understanding, it still is the biggest state for solar right now. Is it the largest by far?
It is, for two reasons. One, California pays approximately the second highest in energy consumption costs.
Is that right?
It is, and only behind Hawaii. And the other is they have state incentives, is they're really trying to move into a more green economy. So the state has incentivized companies, whether it's car companies in the case of Tesla or homeowners in the case of solar, they're really trying to move their state that direction.
Let's do one more.
All right. Hot or not, partners in a business?
Not. You know, partners are always difficult. It's a marriage without the love. And it's all about money. It's tough. Partners are tough in a business. I had a partner, and that's how I sold my business.
Yeah.
Was to my partner. And it's very tough. I don't know of any successful partnerships that have lasted, say, more than 10 years. And I could be wrong about that. But in this case, it's tough because you're dealing with a personality. Typically, entrepreneurs are very strong type individuals, type A people. And so you get two type A people in a room, and it's, Katie barred the door.
Yeah, right.
They had that movie, Hanks. It was Friends with Benefits. This is Marriages Without Benefits. That's what it is, and they're in the business. Are all marriages without benefits? Is that a plea the fifth question that we'll have in here?
I think that's after about the 20th year that kind of kicks in.
All right, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors right here on the Business Radio X Network. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank with Chris Hanks and Ted Jenk and our guest, Sean Vernamo. We're going to be right back in just a minute, and we'll do the plead the fifth.
Thank you, Ted. Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures, but you seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now is the time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Go to Oxygen Financial to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. That was your government at work for you. You see where your tax dollars go. It's called disclosure on commercials. It's all good stuff. The regulations always get worse. You can join us every week here, 11:30 to 12:30 live right here on The Shrimp Tank on the Business Radio X Network. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder for the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship. We're sitting with our guest today, Sean Vernimo, who's the owner of the Greystone Consulting Group. And we've been talking rooftops today, which is, to me, it's a fascinating business because I don't think most people grow up thinking, you know, hey, I want to get in the roofing business.
Nobody comes into this industry, hey, I want to get into the roofing business.
Want to get in the sheet metal business, you know, it's just, it's that, no, a lot of people don't think about that. So I guess my first plea, the fifth in here is, have you ever seen a worker fall off of a roof?
Yes, I have.
Unfortunately, why am I laughing at that? It's not funny, but
unfortunately, it's an unfortunate side effect of our business that it is a dangerous business.
And, well, your workers' comp rates are through the roof, right?
Yes, there we go. Look at that.
You should have been a rapper.
Oh, I tell you, the ego is just getting bigger by the minute.
But you have seen someone fall. Now, how many stories did they fall?
It was about 30 feet. He fell and hit a concrete mixer and it threw him. So he was severely hurt, taken to the hospital. Unfortunately, this also happened at the time, we were doing a hot asphalt built-up roof. This asphalt's heated to 425 degrees. When he went off the roof, the felt layer that contains the asphalt went with him. And so not only did he have fall, he had burns.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's why in the movies, I think it's amazing. They have all these super spy movies and people fall 50 feet off a roof and it's like, oh, I got a bruise on my arm. You fall 50 feet off a roof, you're getting hurt.
You're not
bouncing back up.
Yeah, OSHA's fall protection is 6 feet. So anything over six...
6 feet?
6 feet. You're going to get hurt. You can get hurt over 6 feet.
Wow. So, we referenced your love for learning earlier, and there's all this popular entrepreneurial advice. What popular advice do you disagree with?
Wow, that's a tough one. Boy, that caught me out of left field. We'll have to plead the fifth on that and come back to it.
What was it?
Sweet.
You got him to plead.
I got him. Yeah, absolutely.
He stomped me.
You submitted to Uncle quickly?
He did. But, you know, the truth is he spent all week thinking about that question to set me up.
Absolutely, I did. Yeah.
Wow.
So, on the flip side then, what popular advice do you agree with? Like, what's the best piece of advice?
A little bit of a modification is they talk about find your passion.
Yeah.
I would modify that to and just say find something you enjoy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily your passion, but at least something you enjoy.
Yeah, because passions are developed, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you don't know you're passionate about your spouse or your girlfriend, you know, the first time you meet her for coffee. You just want to go for coffee, right?
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily, passions are developed. You don't know what you're passionate about until you start doing it. So, yeah,
correct.
I think it makes sense to just kind of crank it down a little bit.
Enjoy it. Yeah. If it's something you like to do and get up and go, it may not be your passion may be something completely different. But if it's something you like, and let's face it, roofing is about as boring. Ted, I appreciate you trying to make it exciting, but for the audience, you guys should probably be getting a caffeine shot right about now. But yeah, if you find something that you like, and I do like roofing. Mm-hmm. So,
is it a good idea to bring your kids into entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. I think entrepreneurship is a way for children to grow and learn, whether they become a business owner or not. It's a mindset. Mm-hmm. And that mindset can apply to an employee. It can apply to a spouse. It can apply to any situation in life where you've got the mindset to take and overcome and to serve the person that you're trying to do business with. We're in business, and at the end of the day, we're there to serve our client or to serve our customer. And so I think if you take that mindset, it absolutely applies.
So you have a very entrepreneurial son and you are an entrepreneur. Was that an intentional thing for you? Or is it just like, wow, he just turned out to be entrepreneurial?
That's my retirement plan.
So that was an intentional thing. So like 9 years old, you're making him read like certain entrepreneur, like, you know, Michael Gerber or something like that. I mean, how did you groom that?
We are tracking the ROI on that investment. Yeah, yeah. It's from a young age. Cody, as you're referring to, is my son, who's a freshman at Kennesaw State. We, from an early age, wanted him to be independent. We, from an early age, wanted him to have a high self-esteem. And we find among entrepreneurs, we're all high self-esteem type individuals. And with him, we started early. And I will relay a small story that my family is going to hate, which is this. My young son wanted video games. And so I carted him off down to the video store. And of course, like most kids, he didn't bring any money. Looked at me and, son, where's your money? He, well, dad, it's in your wallet. That's where my money is. I went, okay. I said, so have you picked out what you want? And he did. He had it. So he goes up. I pay for it. And then, oh, by the way, son, there's interest on that money. And so my father at the time looked at me, and my dad was not an entrepreneur. He looked at me and could not believe that I was actually charging my 12-year-old son interest. And it wasn't much. Okay, guys, folks, it was 50 cents. But it was the point. And it was the point that business has to operate as a business. And so we did start him very young.
Okay. No, that's interesting, because I know that a lot of parents out there want to prepare their children to be entrepreneurial, especially as the rate of change keeps happening faster and faster. You have to have that entrepreneurial mindset to be successful. And the fact that you have a son that is so entrepreneurial, and you being an entrepreneur, I was curious if that was just sort of by happenstance or if that was intentional.
No, it was intentional. We started, Cody is an extremely bright child. He's very good at math, but that was, there's studies that say that children who are exposed to material earlier learn faster. And so we wanted to expose him to certain material and certain ideas at a very young age. So it was actually very intentional.
Well, I guess I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today. We're excited to do the post-show wrap-up as well. For folks that are out there and either they need to get some advice on their roof, or they're building a commercial building, or they want to know about this solar stuff, how can people get in touch with you to learn more about hiring you and your company to do consulting for their roofing needs?
They can go to our webstone, which is graystonecg.com, and they can click on the link and send me an email, and myself or one of my staff will reach out and see what we can do for them.
Well, I think, Hanks, if we do a giveaway on here at some point, maybe you and I will give away a solar roof. What do you think about that?
I think that would be...
For a doghouse.
Solar roof for a doghouse.
Well, at least we could afford it. I'm not going to give away a roof for a building or anything.
I was
like that.
Make
a doghouse seems reasonable, right?
Yeah,
it's not
so.
That many. How many? 20 tiles or so, or
give or take.
Give or take. I could afford that.
And my references have already been too poor this show, so I wasn't going to make a hot dog reference. So.
You know, maybe I ought to quit my job, Ryan, for a couple of weeks and just go sit in Hank's class just for the pure comedy of it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You learned
the
so
The references
much.
That you probably yes. drop in there are,
absolutely.
Are amazing.
Yeah, we did a last class. Who said it, Steve Jobs or Kanye West? We had a contest to see who, like, I would read.
Who said it last?
Yeah, who said it? Like, for example, I get emotional over fonts. Who said it, Steve Jobs, Kanye West, and made people, like, we had a competition.
That's
one
awesome.
Standing.
That's like
totally
a Jimmy
fun.
Fallon segment or
it was
something
totally
like
fun.
That.
Yeah, that's, it was a lot of fun.
That's good stuff. Well, Sean, thanks for coming on the show today. And folks, thanks for listening to The Shrimp Tank. When you join us next week here live at 11:30, we're going to have on Mark Fonseca, who started his own clothier business. He's a haberdasher, and that's your SAT word for the day. Thanks, everybody, for joining us right here on The Shrimp Tank, and stay tuned for the post-show wrap-up.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim,